Last time on Clara, conversations on Shinto.
Well, yes, we are always dying, and ergo, well, that's getting into Buddhism. Let's move forward.
That's getting, yes, yes, and this is not an episode about syncretism.
Not yet.
Or is it? The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the hosts. We advise you to go out and think for yourself.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Clara, Conversations on Shinto, a podcast where two friends and fellow practitioners of Shinto in the Anglosphere talk about their faith, its cultural and historical and other contexts, and try to bring knowledge and community to the others. I'm Zoe, and joining me as always is...
Nairi. Good to be back, Zoe.
Always, Nairi. How are you doing today?
What with the unpleasantness in the world being what it is, I would say I'm doing okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting time to be a devotee of a kami of battle.
As it is an interesting time to be a devotee of a kami whose gender is fluid.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot going on. A lot going on.
By the way, fuck Texas.
Screaming.
Always screaming.
Screaming for anyway, trans rights.
If you haven't figured it out, folks, both of us are trans feminine. I am a non-binary feminine person, and the good doctor here is a trans woman.
Yep. Yep. And we're here to educate and hopefully kick some ass at the same time.
Mind, we are not here to talk about trans rights today, though we are always here for trans rights.
Indeed, indeed.
In fact, what are we here to talk about, Doc?
We are here to talk about... Well, we're going to start off with a question from the audience. We recently made a couple of tweets soliciting questions from the audience. We got some interesting questions, actually. We got some interesting questions and some interesting commentary. But one of them in particular struck us as interesting and worthy of further commentary. It's sort of an entry point into... what we're going to be doing today. So we're going to be talking about syncretism today, but we're going to start out with this question from at Magnet Magician on Twitter, who asked, Is there a Shinto conception of an afterlife? How about funerals? If I recall correctly, a lot of funerals in Japan are at least aesthetically Buddhist. Good question.
You know, that is a really good question, and it's oh, God. In case you have been wondering where I've been online lately, everyone, I've ended up on Reddit. No, I'm not telling you my username. And I've been in the Shinto Reddit again, and oh boy, this question also came up there, too.
Yeah.
So, I guess to answer it broadly, there is an afterlife, and it's big air quotes here, and that is you die. And you become a spirit.
Yes. Yes.
That's it. That's the episode, folks. We're all done here. Let's wrap it up. But no, seriously, it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the Shinto side of it.
Yeah.
But because the question itself from our dear friend Magnet Magician did talk about how a lot of funerals are aesthetically Buddhist.
Yes.
That brings up the... conversation topic on syncretism.
Yes. Yeah.
I know there's an old saying, and I can't remember the full entirety of it, but in Japan, one is born Shinto, married Christian, and dies Buddhist.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
It's an interesting saying, isn't it?
It is. It's a very late Meiji onward notion. But it points at this broader question of syncretism in Japan at large. You know, obviously, each of these traditions has its own not only funeral traditions, but also its own wedding traditions and its own traditions to mark the beginning of life. It is a great deal of is, you know, that they each have their own, but at the same time, because death tends to be associated with impurity, funerals are not handled in a Shinto capacity, but rather a Buddhist capacity. That being said, there is such a thing as a Shinto funeral.
Now, this one is actually a surprise to me, Doc, because I've never really heard of that. And yeah, if you could actually elaborate on that, that would be wonderful.
Sure, sure. So it's not common.
I mean, given, again, because of the impurities and everything.
Yeah.
And again, big air quotes around that. Death is just a natural part of the cycle of life and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
But...
I forget the proper term for it, but you can most visibly see the difference. Like, if you go to somebody's grave, right, you can tell the difference of whether the person was buried according to Buddhist or Shinto rites by what it says. So on a just a standard boilerplate, looks like a stupa kind of gravestone. It'll be like, nani nani ke no haka, such and such family grave. No haka, grave, haka. But that's a Buddhist, and it, by extension, it's also used for Christian graves. However, if you see a Shinto grave, it will say, nani nani, like a so-and-so no okutsuki. Oku, inside, tsu, port, ki, castle, fortress. It's an interesting idea. Hmm. Like, don't think of it too much. Don't think too hard about it in terms of the meaning. The meaning isn't important. It's more that this is the ateji that's used. The characters that are assigned for sound value. And, you know, what this is, like, I read this, like, ages ago. It's like, It's believed that it's descended from a practice of a safe place to put the bodies of the deceased that was away from the living. In that sense, the oku, inner, does have some measure of significance. Very famous case of a Shinto burial, which you can see to this day in Konko Town in Okayama Prefecture, is the grave of Konko Daijin, founder of the Konko faith. That's the broadly stated. That's the difference.
Okay.
Also, one more thing though, Shinto does not do cremation, to my knowledge. Buddhism does.
And that's something I'm a little more well versed on because. If I'm going to be real here, Doc, when I do finally shuffle off this mortal coil, may that not be for a long time coming.
Indeed. Knock on wood.
Mm-hmm. But when I do finally pass from this world, I hope to find myself put into the ground under the context of Buddhist tradition.
Hmm.
Because I find some comfort in that, and, well, I guess that's also segueing right into the syncretism thing here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Nairi.
Yes.
My esteemed friend.
Yes.
I think we are at a slight unfair advantage talking about the syncretism thing, given your Ujigami and my Ujigami.
Indeed, indeed. Why don't you tell the listeners why that is?
So, as it turns out, there are several Okami-sama who are associated also as Daimyojin, and I think Daimyojin-sama.
Daimyojin, I guess. Daimyojin, Daibosatsu, Myojin. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of different there's a couple of different variations in terms.
Oh yeah, the 10
yeah
suffix on certain ones. And I'm very familiar with that one because of things.
Yes. Familiar example, I think, to our audience might be, if you remember from the anime Noragami, the character Bishamonten. Mm-hmm. Bishamonten is a mm-hmm. Buddhist figure.
Yeah, and you know, I honestly still need to sit down and finish Noragami. Because mm-hmm. I've seen a few episodes, it's actually still pretty fun and everything, mm-hmm. but it's also just like, I have classes. Mm-hmm. I have reading. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. But, yes, both Nairis and Mayujigamis, two different beings, mm-hmm. are also associated with the term Daimyojin. Mm-hmm. And this has also led to me saying, yes, I'm just a Buddhist with complications.
Mm-hmm. Is this something that I've often said too?
It's a very polite way to say, yes, I do believe in something. No, I don't feel comfortable telling you it. Well, and I know that's kind of...
Yeah. Yeah.
And that just goes into, like, several layers of,
screening.
Yeah. But we'll not touch on that here or at this time.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. But as it stands, both of our Ujigamis came over with the Hata clan.
Yes.
And at what time was that again? Period of time?
That would have been like the Asuka period, I think. Like Kofune to Asuka period, I think. The very very early days of the Yamato court. Very very early days when a lot of the nobility, not all of them, but a lot of them were immigrants from the mainland, from either Korea or China. People who brought expertise in metalwork, people who brought expertise in Buddhism, people who brought expertise in writing, in mm-hmm. bureaucracy, any number of things. They came over and they received status and so on from the Yamato court, and their gods came with them.
And we want to point out here that the context of expertise in Buddhism is a key word here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is not I don't think it's an understatement to say that Buddhism has had a heavy influence on Shinto.
Yes. For, what is it, a 1,000-plus years now?
Thereabouts.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not that anybody, you know, again, to go with the, you know, just because it doesn't have dogma, it doesn't have rules. Buddhism, it does have dogma. Buddhism also does have rules. And
this is also generally why I say I'm a bad Buddhist, because I eat meat, I drink booze, and I, well, let's keep this a family show,
yes,
shall we?
Yes. Always screaming.
Indeed.
Yeah, I have been asked point blank sometimes, once upon a time, I had a close-cropped haircut, and I was asked by my graduate advisor, Nairi, well, have you considered becoming a Buddhist nun? And, you know, me at that point, you know, Hachiman Ujiko for something like, how many years was it at that point? It would have been something like 5 years at that point. You know, I turned to him and I go, no, I like sake and sex too much. And, you know, and he rolled with it, but you know, this is
that's the joke, though, isn't it?
Right? But this is But this is what we say, what we mean when we say, you know, there are people who were whose expertise was Buddhism, who were ordained, who were, you know, who had taken the tonsure, who had become monks or nuns. There were people mm-hmm. who, you know, who were scholars of not only Chinese but also Pali, so that they could, you know, take the have the source texts from India.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very famous monk, this is later on, of course, but, you know, in the early Heian, I think, Kobo Daishi, the monk Kukai, went to China and studied with Indian monks. And it's because of him that Japan is one of the main places where the Siddham script of Sanskrit survives today. You know, so it's not that... You know, in the West, we have this idea of Buddhism that's very diet Buddhism, very, very, you know, mindfulness and nothing else.
I always heard that, like, well, I saw a tweet recently that said, just talking about mindfulness is colonizing Buddhism. And boy, howdy, that was a... there were several tongue twisters there as my mouth tried to spit out that word.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Like, I guess one of the things that I always ended up saying when I do talk about Buddhism and my own life and everything is life is suffering. And... let me just try to preface this with saying I am not depressed. I am not... Well, okay. I am depressed, but I am not... Wow, this is actually a really complicated one to say here, but... Yes, I have depression. No, I am not wallowing in my sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I am acknowledging that I have depression.
Mm-hmm.
I am acknowledging that I am... going to experience pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm acknowledging that no matter what I do, I am going to have negative things that I must deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Life is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And trying to deny that only leads to more suffering in my experience. So.
Yeah.
Don't get on my case for saying, oh, life is suffering. I'm saying life is suffering so that I can enjoy it.
Yes. Yes. You know, that even if a person had no ailments at all and no
Let's just say cishetero man, middle management, walking down the street.
Yeah, yeah. Even they have
mm-hmm.
Even for them, all life is suffering.
Because there's... Well, let me put it to you this way. I am a person who tends to make... Oh, well, you know what? No, I'm not going to say it like that. I'm going to say that this middle management, cishetero man, has employees under him who are... have their own needs... have their own skills, have their own mindsets, have their own capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they will clash.
Mm-hmm.
Even under the best circumstance, they will clash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we mean by life is suffering.
Yeah. They're going to...
It is unavoidable.
Yeah.
And it is okay that it is unavoidable.
Yeah. There's going to come a time where they lose things. There's going to come a time... when they experience grief, there's going to come a time when a thing that they really liked is just going to abruptly end, and they're not going to be happy about it.
Or even just more mundanely, there are going to be times when you get a parking ticket. There are going to be times when you get rear-ended.
Yeah.
There are going to be times that you are going to experience small inconveniences that make life frustrating and difficult.
Yeah. But
that is suffering.
These are a part of life, and we can't pretend mm-hmm. that they're not. which is really quite the opposite of some of the of some of what we see in mainstream American Christianity that seems to insist that everything is a blessing everything is good, everything, you know, like everything is positive. You know, that's just not, you know, that would seem to be beside the point.
Mm-hmm. And I guess even to go further on tying this whole life is suffering back into a more Shinto-minded thing.
Right.
Suffering is a part of natural existence.
Yes.
We will hunger.
Yes.
We will long. We will love. We will pine.
Yes.
And that's natural.
Yes.
That's normal. And to deny that normalcy is to live in disharmony. And again, this is... well, what's the word I'm trying to look for here? Because, I mean, I don't want to say scripture because, bruh, no. But, like, this is just how I experience not only the Shinto side of my faith, but the Buddhist side of my faith. That it is natural to experience longing, missing someone, missing how they can just make you smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, for someone who says that they're an aromantic, I definitely come off as a romantic sap. How does that work? I don't know, folks. I'm confused as it as well.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, I could talk about this myself, you know, Hachiman Okami-sama is a kami of battle. Battle involves mm-hmm. suffering. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there comes a time when, what's a good example? Like, not to get into current events too much, but just what's a good example I can give?
There has to be a time.
The Stonewall Uprising.
Yes.
The Stonewall Uprising. The LGBTQ community of the 1960s pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and harassed and harassed and harassed and harassed and just driven to imprisonment and marginalization at the point of a gun. And there came a night in Greenwich Village in the 60s where the people who were being so relentlessly pushed and pushed and harassed and harmed fought back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's battle involves suffering. Sometimes though there is a time and a place for it,
and that's again also another part of just the nature of it all.
Yeah
Like this one thing that I keep on reminding some folk here is, and this is something that I said to a friend of mine in private, but I still come back to it a lot. The world is random and capricious, sometimes cruel.
Yeah.
There are more than a billion players on the stage struggling against each other.
Yeah.
While so few hold more power than they rightly should, and with all these moving parts, there are bound to be a random acts of cruelty and random acts of kindness. Not out of maliciousness, but rather trying to survive.
Yeah.
And I keep coming back to that word for word because that is something that I hold on to and find peace within myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's honestly, you know, This isn't Buddhism, but it's Hinduism, so it's it is tangentially related. But the thing that I call to mind often is at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna sits down and says, "I will not fight," because he feels guilty. How could he raise his not sword but bow? How could he raise his bow? There's a line in the translation I really liked. How can I rain arrows against Bhishma and Drona when they deserve my worship? It is a far better thing in this life to beg for scraps of food than eat meals smeared with the blood of elders that I killed at the height of their power while their goals were still desires. I shall not fight. And so, the Bhagavad Gita is Lord Krishna, who is in the form of Arjuna's charioteer, trying to explain to him that, yes, battle is an unpleasant thing, and it is a shame that you are in this position that you have to do something that's going to cause suffering, that's going to maybe, and in this case, because it's war and life, but you are doing your duty. You are doing the thing that needs to be done in order to, you know, in order to play your part in the wheel and play your part in the mm-hmm. turning of the universe. You know, it's like, we're not, this is like, please don't misunderstand this. Please don't misunderstand this. We're not saying go out and punch someone. What we're saying here is that there are these different things that are part of life in this plane, and that they too have their place. Not everything is going to be comfortable and soft and good.
And I guess in the context of bringing it back in again and again with back in again in line with Shinto.
Yes.
Is talking about harmony of nature.
Yes.
Nairi, I remember telling you that we recently in my household had a bit of a rat problem. And yes. We started off with some very humane traps. We caught the rat, we examined the rat, and we identified it as an invasive species to the greater Pacific Northwest area in which I live. Mm-hmm. By that meaning, I had to find a way to bring it in myself to kill it. Mm-hmm. And I did. Because it's an invader. It is disharmonious with the world that we are living in.
Yes.
And it needed to be taken care of.
Yes.
I didn't take any joy in it. And I researched the most humane way to do it. Mm-hmm. And I performed said action, and afterwards I showered and I felt very, very, very upset. But I hope that next time through, and again, tying back to Buddhism here, mm-hmm. reincarnation, mm-hmm. it is more fortunate.
Yes.
And that it will forgive me, because...
yeah.
But if it doesn't, it doesn't, and if it does, it does, and that's just how that goes around.
Yeah.
But I guess also, again, tying it more directly into our Ujigami-samas.
Yes.
With yours being an Okami of battle, mine is pray too often enough for success in business, success in general. And that's still a lot of one has to dirty their hands with the unpleasantness of the selling world. There is talk about how to exchange labor so one can gain a profit, and it's not always the most clean or nicest thing, and I personally, under my own politics, would rather run a cooperative if I were to open up a business. There's also, like, how do we run agriculture, going back to just her being associated with rice and growing things.
Yeah.
We have to, again, kill rats to make sure that the food isn't poached. We have to scare off the crows. We have to protect the grain. That is the natural duty of a farmer, of a rancher, and especially of a rancher, because you are raising animals to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
It's dirty work. sometimes very undesirable work, and sometimes politically so undesirable in the old days that there were entire casts of people who were considered untouchable because of it. And I think that's a shame, and I think that's wrong, but it is context.
Yes, and context is important.
And a lot of this interaction between Shinto, which is an animistic faith that has been born from indigenous Japanese people mingling with the Yamato court and becoming their own kind of people through the process of it, for the most part. I mean, okay, there is the issues that did face the Ainu and the Amishi, and that is something worth conversation about. But these folk faith was codified into Shinto.
Yes.
And that is something that you and I participate in. We participated in the Anglosphere. And I can't talk about the syncretism here with Buddhism without bringing up that Shinto is a term made by Buddhist missionaries.
Correct. Correct. This idea that you can have Shinto without Buddhism, you know, famously, infamously, trumpeted by the Meiji era, you know, people. You know, that you can have a somehow, quote, you can't, listeners can't see me doing the scare quotes, but the quote-unquote...
Well, I can, yeah, though.
you can, some, this idea that you can have the quote-unquote original Shinto, pure Shinto.
Ko Shinto.
You can't have, you, like, we have to understand, Buddhism and Shinto in Japan developed cheek by jowl for over a millennium. And even though the Meiji government forcibly divested them, it did not completely succeed.
This is also why, again, Nairi's Ujigami and my Ujigami both have brilliant red shrines.
Yeah.
That's a Shinto Buddhism syncretism.
Yes. Yes. You wouldn't see it at absolutely every shrine. It's particularly Shinto Buddhist syncretism. There's also rules surrounding the offering of incense to a kami-sama.
Yes.
You can't offer incense to any kami-sama you wish. It has to be the ones that have that syncretic connection.
And even then, there are some people who I highly respect who will say it is still gauche to offer incense.
Well, I mean, they're entitled to their opinion.
Yes, they are. And I appreciate them for being siblings under the same Ujigami-sama. I still offer incense. And I'm also going to point out that one of the reasons why I still offer incense, in my case particularly, is the view of my Ujigami-sama's Aramitama.
Yes.
I am not going to speak her name on air. No one needs to hear that.
Yes.
Going back to Kotodama, which we have brought up before, saying certain beings' names gets their attention.
Yes.
You don't want the attention of this being.
Yes.
Well, you don't want it lightly. But she is a very much Buddhist divinity.
Yes.
And as such, I tend to offer incense. And I can't really go any further than that, folks, without mentioning names, and I don't want to burden you with that.
Well, I mean, I could say that, you know, I do the same. Trying to be mindful of that syncretism. Today, Hachiman-sama is usually referred to as Hachiman-okami, but historically, Daibosatsu was the more common appellation. Great Bodhisattva. A divine originally from Korea that became a bodhisattva in Japan. So these are things that I try to keep mindful of. I also try to, you know, in my study of shrine lore and other such things, I also try to work in study of Buddhism. It's significantly easier to come by texts in translation for Buddhism than it is for Shinto.
Indeed.
Much longer and deeper established tradition. Something that I have particularly recently been sort of reconnecting with is the history of the attached temples to these shrines of syncretic deities. So for my home shrine, there used to be an attached temple. The term for an attached temple is a betto, and the betto of Kameoka Hachiman Shrine was called Senjuin, the temple of Kannon-sama of the Thousand Arms. So while Senjuin was demolished in 1871, I think that my opinion is that it still behooves me as an Ujiko of this shrine to study about Kannon-sama of the Thousand Arms, to incorporate that into my reading, into my contemplation. It's not modern shrine Shinto, but it is an important part of my shrine's history nonetheless.
And I would agree. To that end, I'm just kind of suddenly struck by the differences in approach with your approach to Shinto Buddhist syncretism and my approach to Shinto Buddhist syncretism, because, as I plainly said, I view the Oramitama as a very specific Buddhist divinity. Mm-hmm. And you are bringing up this whole context of I look into what the shrine I am a Ujiko of had as an attached temple or a betto.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that words are hard, folks.
Yes, they are.
It's been a day. It's been a week. This entire week has felt like a year.
Yes. Even in a week like this, Kotodama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Screaming.
Wake me up when Reiwa 5 actually rolls around.
I know, right?
But this whole conversation between you and I has also pointed out the differences on how we approach the Shinto Buddhist syncretism.
Yes, yes.
And both of us knowingly say we are bad Buddhists.
Yes.
But we also still try to keep up with the mindset that when applied through the lens of our more predominant and more, I wouldn't even want to say more predominant here, but just like through the lens of where our Ujigami come from.
Yes. I think also this might illustrate a little bit just the, you know, the differences in the forms of syncretism between different shrine faiths. So,
oh, exactly.
You know, for yours, not only did she come over from the continent, but she had this long and established tradition as name that we're not going to say on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand,
well, her Heavenly Fox Queen,
yes,
if you really want to go with that,
yes,
I don't advise looking it up,
yes,
but if you must know,
while you know, Hachiman-sama, as I said, you know, became a bodhisattva in Japan, so it's not that there was an earlier, she had an, it's not that she had an earlier Buddhist name and history on the continent. So that necessarily means a difference, and that's okay. We are not all identical, and that's just fine. We can still have harmony.
And that's, again, also another part of it. Like, yes, Buddhism has dogma, but a good part of the dogma still is, do try to be harmonious with one another.
Yeah.
Like, and that's really putting it loose and fast there, folks. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But it is a good chunk of it.
Yeah.
But on that end, I think that's a pretty good place to call it there. What do you think?
I did want to make one last observation, just as a word of advice to our listeners.
Oh, yes.
And I will keep this brief. You out there in listener land may have heard tell of... you may have heard people who will say that, you know, will take a kami-sama from Shinto and they will venerate them with some other kind of practice or some other kind of implement. Or some other kind of setup or offering or what have you, you know, who will insist that, oh, the gods will understand, and then they'll mix up their traditions. And then if you like gently remind them, Shinto has rules, even if it doesn't have dogma, they'll say, but syncretism. This is not how
syncretism doesn't work that way.
Syncretism does not work at the on the turn of a dime. Syncretism does not work when you will it into existence. Syncretism is like a redwood growing, or a cedar growing. It's going to take
It's a natural process.
It's a natural process. It's an organic process that's going to take a long time. So when you see people, say, on Etsy or eBay, who are claiming to sell,
Ofuda.
Well, not
homemade
just...
homemade ofuda.
Not just ofuda, but, like, things like... The one, and I shudder to mention this on air, but I must, in the way of illustration, I remember seeing an Amaterasu Mojo bag.
What?
Like, sorry, no, you do not.
There are 20 questions there, and all of them are terrifying.
The guy who was claiming to sell kitsune in a jar, right? Wasn't there one guy who?
Yeah.
This is not. You don't do this. You don't do this. This is not how this works. And you can't hand wave it away by saying syncretism, because that's not how syncretism works.
And I'm also going to point this out within another Shinto to Shinto comparison here. Mayujigami-sama, or Nari-Okami, is syncretized with Buddhism heavily. My partner Vera's Ujigami-sama isn't. She is... My partner, Vera's Ujigami-sama, who I will be referring from here on out as she, her, capital S, capital H. Mm-hmm. She is not associated with Buddhism at all.
Yes.
Her practice is a lot different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point that I have to just say this. there are literal rules between my faith and my partner Vera's faith that say our Ujigami-sama must not be enshrined together.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are listening to this and know who I'm talking about, good for you, keep it to yourself. And even further with that, within my own practice here, another of my partners, V, she practices Norse paganry, heathenry, you know? And to that end, I have also studied into it. I've also learned how to offer within the heathen styles and everything. And I pray to the Sky Treading One, to Loki. He is not the person I generally pray to. He is not the person I consider my patron divine or my tutelary kami, my Ujigami. And the term Ujigami doesn't apply to him.
Mm-hmm.
The term for that would be Fultri, and I'm fairly certain I'm murdering that. My apologies to the Nordic languages. But I keep the practice with Loki and the practice with Onari separate.
Yes.
Yes, they are both gender-weird redheads. No, they are not the same person. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Do not syncretize different animist faiths.
Yeah, don't. It is a matter of not only doing things properly, but also a matter of basic respect.
Mm-hmm.
You're
not only basic respect to the faith that you and I are coming from, but also the faith that other people practice.
It's important also because there's a measure of there's an added measure of humility that I think we who are non-Japanese owe in our pursuit of these practices. And
precisely,
we need to be circumspect in how we approach them and not assume that anything we want to do can be done.
Precisely.
So,
like, I guess I'm also going to bring up one last example of parallel practices here.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends is Catholic. They also still honor the same Ujigami I do. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they reconcile no God before me and having an Ujigami that's on them.
Yeah.
I try not to judge.
Yeah.
But I know that they don't mix those faiths.
Yeah.
There is a proper way to do this, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's important to bear that in mind. So I think on that note we can wrap it up.
I think so too. Everyone, it's been wonderful talking with you again.
Yes.
Please, 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 please send us questions.
Yes.
Now, Nairi, where can they send us questions to?
So, we have a Twitter. You can send us questions at @Clara_podcast, CLEYERA_podcast. You can also probably see either of us tweeting about this on our own accounts. In time, as this project grows, we will also, in turn, look to expand onto other platforms. But for now, we're on Anchor, Google Podcasts, and Twitter. So that's where that's where you can find the both of us. But for me personally, you can find me at Riverside Wings. And as for you?
That would be fox_named_zoe on twitter.com. I also have a poetry channel, which is linked in my link tree. I think that's my pinned tweet.
Yes.
Please check it out. Yes. It's on Telegram. I love having people read it.
Very good poetry. Some of my favorite poetry.
But that said, it's been wonderful again.
Yes.
And we hope to hear from you soon.
Yep. Take care.
Take care.